I'm Alex, I'm an addict. Stephen, thanks for asking me. It is really nice to be here. I've never been to this meeting before because I do service at another meeting on a Friday night, but I say it's really nice to be here because actually I look around the room and I see so many people who've been such a huge, important part of my life for the last 4 years, which is how long I've been in the rooms, including one person who was at my very first meeting. I was thinking on the way down here from work that, you know, 4 and a bit years ago, if you had told me that this was going to be how I was going to spend my Friday nights, I think I would have found that a really depressing idea, because I had a really depressing idea of what recovery meant, and a really depressing idea of what life without drugs would mean. Because when I was using, drugs were my favorite thing, and being high was my favorite thing. And so the idea of living without drugs was pretty grim to me. And the idea that I could not just live without drugs, but have a much better, happier life without drugs, that seemed impossible. Some people in this room have heard my story before, but some people haven't. So I'll just give a little bit of background. I come from what I think is a pretty, very middle-class English kind of childhood. It's a childhood that kind of from the outside looked quite pleasant, and I sort of materially had everything that I needed, but on the inside it was pretty dysfunctional. So I had a very clingy, codependent mother. So there was a lot of enmeshment in that relationship. And I had quite an abusive, physically abusive dad. And so whilst I grew up, you know, I grew up with a roof over my head, and I grew up with clothes and food and all that stuff, what I didn't grow up with was anyone to tell me that I was enough, anyone to tell me that I was good enough as I was, that I was lovable, that I was valuable. So I didn't get that message. And so, you know, when I look back to my childhood now, I can see that the kind of clues that I was an addict were actually there quite early, but of course I didn't know that. So from a very early age, I just found that I just had that feeling of discomfort and not being good enough and not fitting in and not being lovable. And I grew up feeling that, I grew up gravitating to anything that would change the way I felt. And when I was a little kid, that was things like fantasy and reading and video games. And then as I grew older, it was things like food and then sex and porn and eventually it was drugs. And I didn't actually touch, I drank alcohol, I didn't touch any other drugs until I was about 20. And it was when I moved to London. And I got into drugs because I moved to London and I got into a relationship with somebody when I first moved to London. And I haven't got time to go into all the details, but it kind of, I was a very clingy, love addict-y type person. So I would meet people on an app or a website, and pretty much before we'd even met, in my head we were married and were planning kids, which, not surprisingly, used to scare people away. So I did this, so I got into this relationship with this person who was not, we were not right for each other, and he very quickly ended that relationship. And I was in a lot of pain. And I didn't know what to do with that pain, because I didn't learn growing up how to talk about how I felt. In fact, I learned not to talk about how I felt. The lesson I learned as a kid was whatever is going on in my life, just bury it, ignore it, put on a smile and just carry on and pretend everything's fine. And I learned that it doesn't really matter what I'm feeling inside. What matters is what I'm projecting to the rest of the world. As long as I look like I'm doing okay, as long as I look like I'm happy, that's what's important. So I was in lots of pain and I didn't know how to deal with that. I didn't know how to ask for help with that. So I literally planned the night I went out and first used hard drugs. I planned it. I literally said to a friend, I'm going to go and do this tonight. My friend was saying, what are you talking about? But, you know, I'm a stubborn person. So I went out and I used drugs. And the first few times I used drugs, it wasn't a particularly great experience. I mean, very quickly from the beginning, I ended up having sort of consequences, and I would go to parties and get kicked out because I didn't know how to behave when I was on drugs. And I put myself in very dangerous, risky sexual situations when I was high. So it wasn't great. So I guess if I were, if I'd been a sort of healthy, well-adjusted person, I would probably have taken the hint that this was probably not a good thing to be doing. It wasn't good for me. But like I say, anything that changed the way I felt was pretty good in my books. I do remember the first time I got really high, and for me that was a bit of a turning point. I was at a new, I was in a relationship with a, what was actually a really lovely man, and we went to a New Year's Eve party, and I just got really, really high, and I thought that night that I had found the thing that was going to fix me. I remember just thinking that this feels great, and this is what I want to do from now on. I want to feel like this as often as I can for as long as I can. And it was a turning point in my life. Of course, at that time, I thought it was a turning point for the better. And I've looked at photos of that New Year's Eve party and photos of me with my boyfriend, and I was, you know, really high. And I look at those photos now with real compassion, because I look at that person and think he thought he had found this wonderful thing that was going to make life bearable. Of course, what he didn't realize was he had actually started off on a very, very dark road, which was going to result in a lot of pain. People sometimes say in recovery, and I've heard it said in the rooms, that using is sometimes about chasing that first high. And I think for me, that was true, because it was never that good again. And the consequences crept in quite quickly. There were good times at the beginning. I mean, obviously there were, otherwise I wouldn't have carried on doing it. And at the beginning, there were times when it felt quite sociable and I was doing it with friends, but it quite quickly got out of control. I was having issues at work because I was either on a come down or I wasn't turning up to work at all. When I got out of that relationship and I became single, then things really spiraled as well, because I wasn't in a relationship, there wasn't someone else there. I felt sort of, I didn't have to behave myself for, so I just thought, well, I can just go out and use as much as I want whenever I want now. And that's when it did get very dark and it got very lonely. And of course, what I can see now is that I was really looking for that sense of belonging that I hadn't had growing up, that sense of feeling enough. And I thought that I could find that by going out and getting high. And for a while, using kind of gave me the illusion that I could do, that kind of gave me an illusion of that. It gave me an illusion of intimacy, but it was just that, an illusion. And none of those people from my using days are around, you know, a part of my life now. They were people who sort of came into my life for a while, but disappeared quite quickly. Whereas, like I say, I look around this room and I see people who have enriched my life for the last 4 and a bit years. I said at the beginning that if you told me 4 and a bit years ago that this is what I'd be doing on a Friday night, I would have found that quite a depressing idea, because I had a real stereotyped idea in my head of what recovery was going to be. A bit like when you see it on, if you see a 12-step meeting on TV, it's always the most depressing thing ever. It's just, you know, I thought recovery, I had a therapist who kept telling me about NA, and I kept saying, I'm not going there. Although I'd never been, I had this very clear idea in my head of what it was going to be. And I thought it was going to be a really depressing group of people, white knuckling it, talking about how much they want to use drugs. And I thought, I don't want to go and sit in a room and listen to that. And I also thought that, because I didn't use every day, for a long time I told myself that that meant I didn't have a problem. And eventually I did get to a rock bottom, and it really, it's kind of ironic. My using kind of started on a New Year's Eve and it kind of ended on a New Year's Eve. I went to a New Year's Eve party, ended up on a very bad binge, called in sick to work. It caused me loads of problems at work. And although it wasn't like the worst come down of my life, it was just, I say that I've just run out of steam. I just got to the point where I've been trying for so long to kid myself that I was still having fun, I was in control, I knew what I was doing. And to be honest, four years and 1 month ago, I was just tired. I was exhausted of trying to live my life in the way I was living it and trying to kid myself that I was having a good time and that I was in control. So pretty much, you know, in desperation, with that gift of desperation, I went to an NA meeting and I didn't know what to expect. But from the minute I walked in the door, you know, someone came and gave me a big hug and gave me a cup of tea and showed me where to sit. And it was like, it was unlike anywhere I'd ever been before. I sat in this room of strangers and I listened to people talking honestly about how they were feeling. And that blew me away because I'd never experienced that in my life. Like I say, growing up, I grew up believing you don't talk about how you feel, you hide it. And what really shocked me as well was listening to people sharing. And there were people in the room who had long-term, you know, they'd been abstinent from drugs for years. And they were really happy. I mean, they were talking about really interesting lives they had, and they had interesting jobs, and they had friends, and they were going on holidays, and they were happy. And I thought, this is crazy that I can actually give up drugs and not just stay clean of drugs, but maybe I could actually even have a better life without them. It says in that reading about coming to our meetings regularly, we stay clean. So that's just what I've been doing for 4 years. I've just been coming to meetings. And how do I stay clean? Well, there's no, thanks acknowledged. I guess I don't do anything different from what people told me to do at the beginning. I come to meetings, I do service, I share, I have a sponsor, I work the steps, I am a sponsor. And it's a beautiful program. There's that reading, How It Works. There isn't a reading that says why it works. And I don't know, you know, even after 4 years, I don't know if I know why it works, but I don't mind. I don't need to know why it works. What matters to me is it does work. It does work for me. And the stuff that works is, you know, it's all the kind of cliches. When I first came in, I used to get really annoyed when people would say stuff like, you know, the magic is in the steps. But for me, that's true. I mean, I wasn't sure I wanted to work the steps when I first came in, but I'm so glad that I do work them because they have been life transforming for me. I work the steps slowly, which works for me, but I work them thoroughly. And, you know, when I first used to hear about the steps and I used to hear people read step 12, which says, you know, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. And when I was really early in recovery, I used to worry, thinking, what am I going to do if I get to step 12 and I've not had a spiritual awakening? Like, what do I do at that point? And I'm just coming up to step 12. And I have had a spiritual awakening. And it wasn't what I expected. I thought it was going to be a big flash of light and there was going to be some really dramatic moment. But it's not been that. It's just been a very long, gradual process of learning to love myself, and learning to be at ease with myself, and learning to talk to people, and open up to people, and be honest with people, and just very slowly learning to be a bit more at ease in life. Recovery doesn't stop life happening. It doesn't mean that bad things don't happen. It doesn't mean I don't have bad days. It doesn't mean that things don't sometimes go wrong. But I would much rather be in the rooms doing this work and dealing with problems than trying to deal with life the way I was before by trying to block it out and ignore it and run away from it. It is a beautiful program and it is a weed program. And, you know, what I did by coming into the rooms was replacing the isolation and loneliness of using with just the beautiful friendships and love and family that I found here in recovery. And getting to sponsor people is a real joy and a real privilege. And that's sometimes when I realize how much I've learned in recovery. It's when I'm helping somebody else with their issues and their recovery that I see how much I've learned. I sometimes put the phone down on my sponsee and I just think, why can I not be like that with myself? You know, when he comes to me with a problem, I can be this sort of recovery person and I can tell him about the program and, you know, I can. And yet when it's stuff in my head, I can't, you know, it's like I still kind of can struggle with those things. But my sponsor says, well, that's why we don't sponsor ourselves, because mm-hmm. we can do that with other people, but we need other people to do that with us. I could go on and on for ages about everything I've learned in this program and what I do, but my time is coming to an end. What I will just say in closing is this, and this is very cheesy, so I'll warn you, but I'm going to say it. When I first came into the rooms, the first few weeks I was here, there was a phrase that just kept popping into my head, and I didn't know where it came from, and I didn't understand why this phrase kept showing up in my head. And the phrase was, welcome home. And I think for me, you know, I understand now why that phrase kept coming into my head, because for me, this has been a homecoming. It's been coming somewhere and experiencing love and kindness, which is what I always wanted. And it's been about coming home to myself and getting to find out in a very slow, loving way who I am, what I want, and what the good bits of me are and what the not so good bits are, but just coming to find out who I am and learning to be comfortable with that. And yeah, it's such a privilege to be part of this program. And I don't want to be anywhere else on a Friday night than here. So yeah, I'll leave it there. Thanks.